Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, providing you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Well, hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live today, Monday, February 6, 2017. And yes, ladies, we are in February. Can you believe it? Already we have gone past the first month of the year and we are moving on. And if you remember last week, I mentioned how important it is to have a strategic plan and actually be prepared, right? Be prepared to plan out your business in a way that is going to help you to grow your company, to make more money, to literally step into who you need to be as a businesswoman. And I encouraged you, okay? Actually, not encouraged. I pleaded with you guys last week how important it was, right, to do that strategic plan. So if you haven't already, ladies, and you're being just kind of stubborn and you're saying, Coach Trina, you know, I hear what you're saying. It's really good, but I'm so busy. I don't have time to stop and do a strategic plan. Then guess what? You're not creating the right type of habit to be a successful businesswoman. And that is one thing I will let you ladies know that I had to learn the hard way. I was always so very, very busy trying to do business, being busy, that I didn't take the time to successfully plan. And so for years, while I had some success, I could have had immeasurably more had I sat down and taken the time. And you know what I think it is for most businesswomen? I think a lot of businesswomen feel comfortable being busy, doing busy work. And I think a lot of women feel that if they are busy, that it means that they're doing something right. And we have to really begin to understand the psychology of why we do what we do as businesswomen. Why is it that we tend to feel very comfortable in the labor role of business, but we're not necessarily always comfortable in the entrepreneur visionary role of the business? And so, again, I want to encourage you, and I also want to plead with you that you've got to take the time to step up to the plate and be the owner of your business, right? Because it doesn't make sense to run a business for years and still not to strategically plan so that you can grow that business to the best of your ability. That's so very, very important. Well, I'll let you know some of the things that we're going to be discussing today. First, the show is just going to be about 30 minutes today. I am on travel and excited because I'm going to a couple of conferences. I'm here visiting a very, very special friend in the California area. And also I'm excited because I'm also going to be talking with several businesswomen who live on the West Coast about the possibility of, again, getting that Women About Biz chapter started. And, again, for those of you that are on the West Coast, you're probably saying, yay, because I know so many of you have been asking me for that. We're also going to be talking about closing the sale today, and that is going to be our platform for all of the month of February, is loving your business and closing the sale, which is so very, very important. You know, it's no secret that if you want to make money in business, you need a steady stream of customers that are willing to purchase. In other words, you must have consistent sales, right? In order to create that consistency, it all must begin with you knowing how to close the sale once a prospect has shown interest. So I'm going to be clearing up a lot of information for you today about closing the sale. I'm going to be sharing some information with you today that a lot of businesswomen are unaware of about closing the sale. I'm going to be talking about, you know, what your closure sales ratio really is. I'm also going to be talking about that there is a formula for closing the sale. So we're going to be looking at that in just a little bit. And also, I haven't forgotten our wonderful book club book of the month, which is Awakening the Giant Within by Anthony Robbins. Is that not a good view that have purchased it? I know that you have had several aha moments reading this book, because the book speaks to the very essence of what Successful Woman Radio is all about. And ladies, it's certainly time in 2017, it is certainly time to awaken the giant within ourselves, right? We can no longer just sit by and be laborers in our business and do busy work, which gives us that false feeling of being important and making it important, but yet the business isn't generating the type of income that we need. It is time for us to break the mold. It is time for us to step up and step out and become the businesswomen, the entrepreneurial leaders that we need to be. So you have got to stop being the passenger in your success vehicle and start being the driver. Do you guys remember me talking about that? Let me go over that right quick. Okay, so I liken being a successful businesswoman to driving a car. If you think about it, when you're driving a car, if you are the driver, you have to be concerned with the route, the way that you're going, the best route to take. You have to be concerned with not hitting another car, and you have to not only watch out for your car, but you have to make sure that you're paying attention to how other people are driving so that you can be a defensive driver and make sure that you're keeping yourself and, if you have passengers, keeping them safe as well. Well, I liken that to a successful business, because when you are a business owner, you can't be the passenger on the other side of the seat, right? You know, sometimes when you're someone else is driving and you're riding in the car, you're able to just kind of look around and see what's going on. You're able to look at different things happening, and you're able to read signs. You're able to do a lot when you are the passenger, because you don't have to pay attention to where the car is exactly going. You trust that the driver is doing that. And that is exactly what has to be happening when you are the driver of your success vehicle. It's your responsibility to drive your success vehicle. It's your responsibility to make sure that your business is going in the right direction and going the route that is the easiest route to take. In other words, you are working smarter and not harder, something that is very, very important. But you see, I know from firsthand experience that it is sometimes quite easy to get comfortable and sit on the passenger side of your success vehicle while someone else is driving your success. Now, we've talked about this before on Successful Woman Radio, but, you know, there are a lot of women that have abdicated their businesses to life, to their environment, to people, places, things, and wonder why they are not seeing success in their business. And I'm here to just tell you, we can no longer do that. Remember, it is time to break the mold. And what that means is that you must step outside of the usual way you have been doing things, and you must look at all the things that have not been working for you as you run your company, and you must make swift and immediate changes. You must create new habits that are supporting you and your business, right? Very, very important. So that is what it's all about. In being successful, it's not staying in the labor role, but it is actually getting your behind in the entrepreneurial visionary role. For those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to no other than Successful Woman Radio, and this is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach. Again, we're going to be talking about closing the sale in just a little bit, one of my favorite topics. And also, I want to just, again, give a big shout-out to Rhonda Frost. Rhonda is CEO and founder of Plain to Success, and she is doing some wonderful things this year as she is helping women on their entrepreneurial journey, helping women to even understand what entrepreneurism is, what starting a small business is all about. And so Flame to Success and our nonprofit side, Her Dream Startup, are partnering this year to help women nationwide. And if you're listening, I'm claiming that, helping women nationwide to get on track, to be bold, be brave, be courageous, and create their very own business. Now, if you're new to Successful Woman Radio and you're not familiar with the Her Dream Startup program, every quarter we do a free fellowship-based program, again, entitled Her Dream Startup. It is a six-week self-module system that we want all women who join the program to be able to take it for up to 90 days and to be able to complete it within that time frame. And so the program has six modules, and each one goes in depth on starting a business, and not only starting a business, because, right, anyone can go to the bookstore these days and get a really great book on starting a business, but we give it to you from a woman's perspective, and we also cover something that not many people cover in business startup, and that is the psychology of startup, what you need to do to prepare your mindset to be a successful business owner. So go check it out. HerDreamStartup.org. Again, HerDreamStartup.org. And again, a big shout out to Rhonda Frost, who has partnered with us with Her Dream Startup and her organization to continue to spread wide the good news that we as women have the opportunity to be and do anything that we so desire. 12:11 after the hour. For those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach. Coming up, I'm also going to give you guys information on what you need to do, the five things, the five questions that you need to ask yourself to have a more abundant life, which is so very, very important. That will be coming up shortly. I'm getting used to a smaller laptop computer this morning, which is so funny because I'm so used to this big 27-inch screen that I have in front of me normally when I'm doing the show. So working on a smaller laptop is somewhat different. So we'll go ahead right now and start your five questions to abundance. Again, the five questions you need to know to ask yourself to be more abundant, to spark the abundance in your life. And if you'll remember, our whole thing for 2017 is creating your abundance. Here's question number one. Who would I like for my customer or my client to be this week? Well, ladies, if we are being brave, courageous, stepping out and being bold this year, we are not waiting for someone to give us the opportunity. We're not waiting for the customer to necessarily come to us, right? We're not twiddling our thumbs hoping that all of our marketing efforts will work. But no, we are creating synergistic opportunities by making a list of people that we would like to be our customers. And we're going after them after that point. We are figuring out creative ways that we can get in front of that individual. So, again, it's important for you to list individuals that you would like to be your customers this week. Here's question number two. What can I do to generate cash this week? Now, where I said the word cash, you need to replace that with the actual money amount, such as what can I do to generate $1,500 this week? What can I do to generate $2,500 this week? Okay? And then not only do you need to ask yourself that question, but then there's kind of like a sub question to that, to question number two, which is not what can I do to generate this week, but how is that going to happen? You need to identify how it's going to happen. And then number three and five questions to spark your abundance. What can I do to be a better leader this week? You know, I've shared often about the three most important roles that every business must play. And those three roles are laborer, manager, and entrepreneur visionary. what's so important about these three roles is that you can't pick and choose which of these roles you're going to play. And see, that's what's happening. And that's what I mentioned right away as we talked about developing a business strategy for this year. So many women are choosing just to stay in the labor role because it's making them feel like they are doing something, when in actuality, when you're in the labor role, you never think about the how you're going to grow your company, how much money you're going to generate. Think about it. For all of you who had a 9-to-5 job, was your mind more concerned with the job that you had in front of you? Or was your mind concerned with how you're going to help your boss generate $1 million, right? So it's important for you to realize, okay, that when you're in that labor role, while the labor role is important, you don't think about growing the company. You don't think about what's best for the company and how you can create a larger company and how you can generate more money into the company. That is the role of the entrepreneur visionary, okay? And then, of course, you have that middle role, which is the manager role, who's responsible for the daily operations, the marketing, and all of the administrative works of your company. So, again, three roles must be balanced, which is very, very important. If they are not balanced, guess what happens? You got it. You are going to start seeing a downward turn in your business, and you're going to start seeing that you don't have the money that you need to grow your company. So this is very, very important. The leadership role in your business is, I would say that it's right up there, the top five things that you need to be doing to ensure the success of your company. Here's number four. What prospects or possible collaborations can I follow up with this week? Well, ladies, here's the thing. If you are doing something right in your business, I can tell you right now that you should be having a lot of things that you're following up with on this week, right? You should have prospects, people that are calling or emailing or inquiring about your business. And you should be coming up with possible collaborations, right? People that you want to collaborate with, companies that you would like to partner with, organizations that you would like to partner with. That's your responsibility to come up with how you're going to collaborate with others and grow your company. And then prospective clients, well, guess what? Again, if you're doing something right on that marketing side, you should be having inquiries. You should be having people that are interested in talking to you about what you do and finding out about your services and or your products. And last but not least, in the five questions to spark your abundance is number five. What are ways I can market and promote my business this week? Again, what are ways that I can market or promote my business this week? Remember, it is right up there in that top five, right up there with you and leadership, and you must be marketing 24/7 in your company, right? There's no such thing as putting a marketing plan into action for only one day or one week and hoping that you're going to be able to start generating consistent leads, consistent inquiries. It's not going to happen. So there you have it, ladies, the five questions to spark your abundance. Now, I want you to remember this. Ladies, you have the power to create your streams of abundance, and it all begins with you taking swift and immediate actions. Again, only you have the power to create your streams of abundance, and it all begins with you taking swift and immediate action. That's it for five questions to spark your abundance. Ask them any time of yourself, and you will start seeing the difference when you answer the questions. By the way, ladies, don't be surprised if you get different answers at different time. As you begin to grow, your answers change and they expand your business horizons. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? It's 12:19 after the hour. You're listening to the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm Trina Newby, your host and business success coach. Coming up, I've got some great ways for you to close the sale, and you are really going to like this. So if you haven't already, go ahead and get your pen and your notepad out because you are definitely going to want to take information on this. Closing the sale, something every powerful businesswoman knows how to do, and so should you. I want to go ahead right now and read an excerpt for you from the book Awaken the Giant Within, one of my all-time favorite books by Anthony Robbins. He is just such a phenomenal motivator, such a phenomenal life changer, and he is all about reaching into your subconscious mind and creating habits that are going to positively change your life and create your abundance. And that is why I follow him and I continue to listen to almost everything that he writes, because he understands and he knows. He knows what it's like to be homeless. He knows what it's like to not make any money, to have ideas but not have them put into effective action. He understands all of that, right? And so as a result, he has come up with different types of techniques and principles that he not only guides his life by, that he has helped so many others to overcome that fear, to overcome all of those negativities that tend to hold us back as human beings. He has helped so many people to overcome that. So if you haven't put this book, Awaken the Giant Within, in your success library, I highly encourage you to go to Amazon.com, go ahead and add this book. Now, I'm going to be reading to you from page 90 for those of you that have a copy of the book. And this is entitled, Pain is the Ultimate Tool for Shifting a Belief. He says, again, pain is still the most powerful way to change a belief. A great illusion of the power of changed beliefs occurred on the Sally Jesse Raphael show when a brave woman stood before a studio and world audience to renounce her alliance with the Ku Klux Klan. Ironically, she had been on the same show only a month before, participating in a panel of KKK women rallying against all who didn't share their convictions about race, and angrily shouting that racial mixing educationally, economically, or socially would be the downfall of the country and its people. What made her belief so drastic are three things. First, a young woman in the audience during the original show had stood up crying and pleaded for understanding. Her husband and child were Hispanic, and she sobbed that she couldn't believe a group of people could be so hateful. Second, flying home, she yelled at her son, who had appeared with her yet didn't share her views, for embarrassing her on national television. The rest of the women chastised him for being disrespectful and quoted to him from the Bible, "Thou shalt honor thy mother and father." Her 16-year-old son responded by saying that God certainly didn't intend for him to respect the evil she was espousing, and he immediately got off the plane in Dallas, vowing never to come home again. The woman continued her flight home. Her mind raced over the day's events and also began to think about the war that her country was fighting in the Middle East. She remembered what another member of the audience had said to her that day. Young men and women of color are over there fighting not only for themselves, but also for you. She thought about her son, how much she loved him, and how spiteful she had been with him. Would she allow that brief exchange of words to be their last? And even the thought of it was too painful for her to bear. She had to make a change, and she had to make it immediately. As a result of this experience, she told the audience she received a message from God, which she heeded immediately, to quit the Klan and to begin to love all people equally as her brothers and sisters. Certainly, she will miss her friends. She'll be ostracized by the group. But she says that her soul is now cleansed and that she will begin her life anew with a clear conscience. It's vital, the author says, to examine our beliefs and their consequences to make sure that they're empowering us. How do you know what beliefs to adopt? The authors say the answer is to find someone who's producing the results you truly want in your life. These people are the role models who can give you some of the answers you seek. Invariably, behind all successful people lies a specific set of empowering beliefs. The way to expand our lives is to model the lives of those people who are already succeeding. It's powerful, it's fun, and these people are available and they are all around you. The author says it's just a matter of asking questions. What do you believe? What you believe makes the difference. What are the beliefs you have that separate you from others? He said years ago I read a book called Meetings and Remarkable Men and used that as a thing to shape my life. Then I've become a hunter of excellence, constantly seeking out the leading men and women in our culture to discover their beliefs, their values, and their strategies for achieving success. 2 years ago, he says, I developed Power Talks, my monthly audio magazine, in which I interview these giants. In fact, many of the key distinctions I'm sharing with you in this book were made as a result of interviews with some of these people who are the finest in the particular area of endeavor. By having a commitment to share these interviews, my newest thoughts, and a summary of my national best-selling book with you each month, I've developed a consistent plan of not only for empowering other people, but for constantly improving myself as well. So I've just read an excerpt from the book Awaken the Giant Within, and he's talking about beliefs and pain. The example he gave us, again, was of this woman who was a guest on a talk show that used to come on a while back called the Sally Jesse Raphael Show, in which this woman was a part of a racial group. And she lost her son, or she was going to lose her son as a result. She had hardened her heart, but she realized that she could no longer be a part of that group because she loved her son. And she had reflected back on what some of the people in that audience had said to her, and it pricked her heart to the point where she wanted to make a change. And, you know, it's so interesting that he shares that story because a lot of people have painful beliefs that are holding them back, and they have to change those beliefs in order to move forward. And so, again, I want to put the question to you. What is it that you are believing in your life that is holding you back from being successful? You see, whatever you say that you want in your business, you always have to evaluate whether or not you have the belief to support whatever it is that you desire. Because our subconscious mind works against what it is that we want when we have things that have been stored in it that work against it. So, for example, if you say you want to be a millionaire, right? Well, you have the power to literally do that. You have the power to generate wealth financially. You have the power to bring in millions of dollars into your life. However, what makes it such a challenge is our beliefs. If you have beliefs about money, beliefs about your success, beliefs about whether or not you have the ability to generate $1 million, and all of these are negative, they can hold you back. They can prevent you from being the successful woman you were meant to be. So it's important to take a look at the beliefs that you have. It's important for you to schedule that quiet time, that personal development time, so that you can start being more successful. Here's what you need to understand, ladies. When you were born, you were already pre-installed with all of the things that you need to be successful in your life. But as this life on earth would have it, there are always going to be bumps in the road for many. And so for many of us, we have life experiences, right? We have picked up beliefs from our parents that may not necessarily be true. We have picked up habits that are working against us. And so all of these things together almost form like a negativity net that prevent us from crossing over into a life of more abundance, into a life where we can generate that wealth. But we also have the power and we also have ability to remove that net. We have the ability to improve the habits that we have so that we can start having a better lifestyle, so that we can start generating and creating our abundance. But it first starts with us. This is why I say all the time that this year, 2017, is the year to break out of your mold. This is the year that it is your turn to step up to the plate, to be bold, be courageous. It's your turn to claim your success and to say, yes, I will not let anything hold me back. I will not let anything get in my way. I am going to be successful. I am going to generate this amount of dollars in my company this year, and I am going to be the leader that my company needs. This is why this year is so important. It's a pivotal year, 2017, and I am encouraging you to take that first step, to take that swift and immediate action, to create that unshakable faith that's required of you to be extremely successful. And, you know, one of the things that I've always shared as well on the show is that you don't need money to claim your wealth. Okay? Yes, you need money to buy things and to improve techniques and different things in your company. But the process of building wealth, the process of creating success, has nothing to do with money itself. Okay? It all has something to do with you understanding that you have a power in which you can create your own success. And coming into that power and taking action with that power is so very, very important. So that's all I have right now with the book club book of the month. I encourage you to go pick up your copy of Awaken the Giant Within. And lastly, ladies, I want to go ahead and talk to you about closing the sale. Are you aware of your sales closure ratio? That means that every time you speak to someone about your product or your service, are you able to close the sale with them? How many times out of 10 times are you able to close the sale? Is it 2? Is it 3? Is it 4? Do you know? Well, ladies, again, it's no secret that if you want to make money in business, you need a steady stream of customers that are willing to purchase from you, right? You must have consistent sales in your business. And in order to create that consistency, it all begins with you knowing how to close the sale once a prospect has shown interest. Now, oftentimes, businesswomen confuse sales with marketing and think two are interchangeable. However, they are quite different, but one is dependent upon the other. Marketing, ladies, is the system of attracting individuals to your products or services through the use of advertisements, social media, landing pages, word of mouth, and many other strategies. Sales, however, is the process of converting a lead into a customer. Now, the difference between marketing and sales is that marketing is supposed to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. In other words, it's supposed to attract the person to your door, and it gets the person to knock on your door, right? That person is interested in your business, and so that person has become a lead for you. However, that's where the marketing process stops, and the sales process begins, because the sales process is what that person knocks on your door and inquires about your service or your product. They are now converted into a lead. Now, the sales process is you converting that lead into a customer. So there is a process here that cannot be overlooked, and yet it is often. So the process is that you must market, and I've given you some examples of what marketing is, right? Advertisement, social media, landing pages, word of mouth. Those are all marketing strategies, right? But then what happens is that person becomes interested through clicking on a link, through knocking on your door, your marketing door, saying, hi, I'm interested in what you have, asking you questions about your business inquiries, okay, or saying right out that they want to purchase what you have. And so that person becomes a lead. as a result of your marketing. But the marketing stops at that point. There's nothing else that you need to do to attract that person to you. They're there at your door. And sales, the process of sales starts taking place. Now it's your responsibility to convert that person who is now a lead. Why are they a lead? Because they told you that they're interested in what you have. So now you must convert that lead into a sale. And then if the prospect purchases your product or services, you have effectively closed the sale. However, you must remember that, again, sales can only occur after marketing has taken place. This can include not only all of the marketing you did to generate leads, but follow-up and actually talking with or presenting to your prospect as well, okay? Now, once a prospect shows interest in what you're offering, hey, it's your responsibility to close that sale. So this means that from the time a prospect connects with you or provides you with their information, you have a follow-up system, a follow-up sales system in place for walking them through the benefits of why they should buy from you. Once your sales system is in place, it doesn't stop there. Because guess what? You must then be able to present your products and services based on benefits and not features. And this is another issue that a lot of business owners don't understand. A lot of times when you're explaining information about your product or service, instead of sharing the benefits and how it's going to benefit the customer, oftentimes you will start to literally brag on what you have instead of feature the benefits themselves, and that is what turns off a lot of customers. The biggest secret that I personally have learned about closing the sale is that clients or customers don't want to feel that you are trying to close the sale with them. They want to know and think that they are making the decision all on their own, okay? All too often, business owners tend to brag or point out all of the features of their products and services instead of focusing on how it can actually benefit their prospects. And as a result, they always lose the sale. So whatever problems you can help solve or whatever pain you can help relieve for your customer or your prospect, you should focus on and point out the benefits that will resolve their issues. So very, very important. Listen, when you are effective in communicating the benefits of what you offer, you can then convert your prospects into customers, which will help you to have a good sales closure ratio. Now, one of the things I think that's very important is that you really need to have a client or customer intake sheet front of you when you're talking to customers. Do not trick yourself into believing that just because it's your business, you know everything that there is to know about closing the sale with that customer or that you've memorized all of your products and services. Because when you do that, you're always going to miss out on something. I want to quickly share with you, I remember a business coach had shared with me, Trina, you need to have a client intake. And I kept saying, I got you, I hear you, and I'm going to get around to making one. One day a prospective customer called me. She was inquiring about the product. And I got so caught up in telling her and bragging about the services that I told her that I would send her information right away. And the conversation was going so quickly that I hung up. And I didn't even get the person's name, phone number, and email, the three most vital pieces of information that you need to have from a prospect. Now, some of you are probably having an aha moment with me right now, because if I've ever coached you, you know that I am really huge on making sure that you understand that you are the responsible party for making sure that when you talk with someone that you get their name, phone number, and email, that it's your responsibility, and that you never leave it up to the other person to call you back. And unfortunately, you know, I lost that customer simply because I was too pig-headed to create a client intake form, which allowed me to remember the most important things that I needed to ask my client. So very, very important. So I want you to create a customer or client intake form. Now, on this intake form, you need to put down the most important things that you know you're going to need from your client or customer, right? You know automatically you want to know their name, you want to know their phone number, you want to know their email in case you get disconnected. But then you may want to know what is their pain. Of course, you're not going to say what is your pain, right? But what you're going to ask them is, what is it that they need? You know, what is their concern? Because that's the question that's going to help you in the end to close the sale, right? So very, very important. So once you do that, once you create that sales sheet, once you create that intake sheet that's going to help you close that sale, then you're going to be more comfortable and you can rest assured that you get all the information that you need from that prospective customer or client. But when you don't have something in front of you, guess what happens? You'll forget. And that is the importance of the intake sheet. Very, very important. The other thing that you can put on your intake form is you can put some of the features or benefits of them utilizing your product or service. Keep that in mind. And keep in mind that you may also want to have some bullet points and lines on that form to say, hey, what's their pain? What is it that they're really needing? So very, very important, right? This is all your tools to help you close the sale. And I can guarantee you, every businesswoman that I have helped to create a sales system with, when they create their intake form, they automatically call me back and say, wow, it has been so easy to close the sale. Now that I have this in front of me, I have exactly what their needs are, what their pain points are. I know what they're looking for. Because whatever they say they need, you can take that and turn it right back around and show them exactly how you can ease up their pain or how you can be the solution for whatever the problem is that they have. When you don't have that, it's very difficult. It is that very piece of marketing with showing a person how you can solve their problem, ease their pain, find a solution to their challenge. It is that very thing that helps them to feel like they are making their own decisions when purchasing from you. Now, I just gave you something very important to pay attention to. Okay? Next, let's talk about figuring out your sales closure ratio. And I'm going to give you a really good resource. And it's an article that I wrote on the Women About Biz website, and I want you to be able to see it. So I will put this article out in our blog. But let's talk about how do you figure out what your sales closure ratio is, right? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to figure out the number of leads or prospects for your previous week or your previous month or a particular time frame. Right? And then you count the number of sales you actually closed out of that number of people that you talked to. And once you figure out the number of sales that you've actually closed, you're going to divide your sales by the number of leads and multiply it by 100. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. If I had 10 leads and I closed 5 of those 10 leads, right? I'm going to divide, okay, the 5 into the 10, which gives me my sales closure ratio, which is 50%. Because if I talk to 10 people and I close 5 of those people, then that is going to give me a 50% sales closure ratio. Here's another quick example. If I have 30 leads, and the number of sales from those 30 leads were just 6 people, then that gives me a 20% sales closure ratio. So I divided 6 into 30, which is what gives me that 20%. So, again, that is how you can tell what your sales closure ratio is. And what I want you to do is I want you to try that, okay? I want you to try figuring out what your sales closure ratio is. I recommend mostly to most business women that your sales closure ratio should be somewhere up at that 30 to 40 percentile. I'm sorry, that over that 30 to 40 percentile rate. So maybe 50% and above will start helping you to see a lot more results, okay? That is very, very important. So, again, the formula for figuring out your sales closure ratio is to divide the number of sales into the number of people you talked with, like for the week or for the month, and that's going to give you the percentage of your sales closure ratio. Now, an ultimate goal would be for you to get a sales closure ratio of 85% or higher. Okay, that would be absolutely wonderful. So that would mean for every 10 people that you talk to, you close about 8 people. And that is the ultimate goal. And that is an awesome goal to have. So it's your responsibility to close that sale, ladies. And whether you're going to do it verbally or whether you're going to create what we call a sales funnel to make it happen, you are the one that's responsible for closing the sale. And so hopefully this is giving you an understanding of the difference between marketing and sales, that marketing helps to bring the prospect to you, and closing the sale is all about converting the prospect, converting the lead into cash dollars. In other words, they like what you have, you presented the benefits, and now they're ready to either click a link or they're ready to purchase whatever it is that you have. And that's all I have right now for closing the sale, but stay tuned to our blog on the womenaboutbiz.com website because I'm going to put up some notes on closing the sale for you today, and I'll put in the notes the information about how to figure out your sales closure ratio. That's all I have for today. I hope that you ladies have enjoyed the show at Successful Woman Radio. Don't forget to mark your calendar for every Monday at 12 noon and make sure that you share the show with another woman who needs to be blessed in her life with a positive environment, positive encouragement. Take care, everybody. Have an abundant week. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.